We'll begin the communion class with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for where you're taking us in you. Help us to go forward in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, bless everyone who speaks today. Bless, be in their words. Bless us to come together with your words. Bless us to receive it in our hearts. Bless Pastor and the praise team as we go forward today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, I like the way God has operatives. He's one, and those that love him, he operates as one through all of his people. And I love the way Pastor always tag what we say. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't get together and plan it. It's just, it comes out because it's him. But in this lesson we've been doing, this is a picture of Pilate, Jesus in Pilate's court. And one thing that we do when we live the life of God, when we speak his word before people, when we operate in his light, we put people in Pilate's seat because they have to make a decision about Jesus, good or bad. Every time we get healed, every time we give a testimony, every time we talk about his goodness in our lives, it puts them in Pilate's seat. And they have to make a decision. The word of God, if they receive it, it starts a process of faith in them. And if they rebel, then the enemy comes and steals the word. But if people hear the word long enough, they'll become able to make a sober decision. And I always looked at the parable of the sower, just for what it is. And I used to think that people who hear the word, like the people on the wayside, they always push it away. But if they were around it long enough, the word might get inside. And it might develop. But usually people, their heart is set the way it's set, and that's what it does with the word of God. But little children, the Lord can save. They're in the kingdom of God. And they can, if people teach children the word of God, their hearts are soft and they'll cling to faith. Because we're all made in God's image. But the world hardens our hearts. Now, the world causes our hearts to be hard and cold against God. And the way it allures people away from God and the way that it attacks our lives, it's all designed to drive the word out. But remember Job, he had a good heart and he couldn't be driven out. The enemy couldn't drive him to darkness to curse God and die. But that's just how the heart is. But if people are around the word long enough, hopefully their heart can be softened. And then the love of God will bless them. And if they stick with it, if everybody decides how they treat life. Okay, let me back up to made it to verse 37.
John 18.
John 18, and we'll look at verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? If he was settled in his heart, he would have known. Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that heareth the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that loves the truth, they hear the Lord's voice. And I believe this answers that question in Psalms, I think it's Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? The truth of God is always detectable. And sinners can detect that it's true, but they're not willing to proceed into the kingdom of God. So they try to find fault. They rage. They try to stop the progress of God, because it's detectable. Now, then Pilate saith unto him, What is true? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. I find in him no fault at all. Now, Pilate made a reference. He said, Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? This is verse 35. Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now he's looking at them as if they are righteous. He doesn't know that the chief priests are corrupt. And they didn't look corrupt because they taught the word of God. They were faithful to their religion. But they took the word of God instead of looking at it for what it is. They read it backwards. They're in the position of Moses, but they're reading the word of God wrong, to the point that when the true word of God came, they wanted him dead. They looked at cold religion. To the world, they look righteous. But cold religion reads the word wrong. They're looking They're looking at it. They're looking at God. They're making God in their image. They take it and turn it around. They turn his word upside down. Mm-hmm. But they have the reputation for loving God, but they're not reading him within the pages. They're reading their own will, and they're bringing people under their control. They're trying to shape God in their image. It's no different than when Jesus did miracles. They wanted to make a king out of it. They wanted God on their terms, not his. They were going to force him to be their king so he could do miracles, and they'd eat free, and they'd see the miracles of God, they'd be healed. They wanted God on their terms. But faith, real faith, doesn't do that. Faith is looking to God on his terms. Yes. And true faith, it's always looking to him. Pride looks within. So if pride looks within, when it reads God's word, it turns it upside down. I can control people. I can have my own little kingdom if I twist some things around according to Satan's work. See, idolatry was destroyed. You never read about idolatry after the Babylonian captivity. You didn't read about Jews and idols again in the word of God. But they altered the word. They made it fit their own lifestyle and what they wanted. So when the truth came, they didn't like it. But people who were sincere, like Nicodemus, they wanted the truth, because the truth is always detectable. But you have to have courage with it, because the persuasion is Antichrist, and the truth is Christ. But the persuasion is Antichrist, a twisting of the word. So Pilate, he said, what is truth? But then he goes and says to the Jews, and he said to them, I find no fault in him at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Now he figured the people might select Jesus. Now, the people were groomed, you know, they were the seed of the Pharisees, spiritually. Whatever you sow becomes greater. I say that the people were worse than the Pharisees were, because they were a generation of them. They were taught by the Pharisees, and they said, and they cried again, and they all then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. They would rather have a robber.
And he was a murderer.
And a murderer. They wanted him over Jesus, who went about healing. This is cold religion at its worst. Cold religion will see God's actions and hate it. That's why the lukewarm church is so dangerous. They have no passion for the love of God, but they're not doing the worldly things. But they look the part. But they just like the Pharisees. They twist the word. And they live it in reverse. But to Pilate, they look like good people. So now you got good people wanting to kill a great person. What is truth? He couldn't tell. Or he said, "I can't find any fault with it." But he didn't have the courage to defend it. So he tried to get out of it. Now, and Jesus warned us, he said, he warned them of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. The leaven of the Pharisees is pride and preeminence. And the leaven of Herod is just like it. It's position. He loved his position more than God. They loved their will more than God. And then he taught them about washing. When we first started, he washed their feet. He gave them an example they can't forget. "This is my love, what you do for others when you wash your brother's feet, when you help people that can't help themselves, when you're a servant, when you have the heart of a servant, and that you'll find no servant greater than God himself." There's no greater servant. He made us in the first place. When we got out of line, he made provisions for us to come back. Then when Jesus sent us a Savior who did his job and saved us, then he left and sent us a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's a fail-safe to keep us on track. Guide us into all truth. Give us victory. Help us thrive in life and be industrious. And then Jesus is our high priest. When we don't know what to do, he pleads our case. And then we're made in his likeness. We're priests and kings. And then we have the written word of God, so we can always have faith. And our faith can increase, we can measure it greater, and we can drive out doubts and everything, every fire dart that the enemy will shoot, the word of God will help us. He gave us all these fail-safes so that we can go to heaven and enjoy his company, and he enjoy our company. But cold religion is trying to get in the way of that. And this is where the warfare is. But this is not the race. Our race is against time. But we have to fight so that we can help others come in. We're presenting the world with true communion. Our communion suggests that they can have the same thing. And we help them we help them read the word upside right.
Word. Upside right. I like that part. Just like Liam was telling me what Sabina is with her kindergarten class. And she says, "I'm going to get him," she's got a tooth missing, "I'm going to get him to look at my gum tooth." I said, "Liam, that's
tooth." I like that.
Upside right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Communion. You know, that's the backbone of our strength. That's how David defeated Goliath.
That's
communion.
Communion. So the Church of Christ has kind of got it right in one area about having communion every Sunday, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no matter how wild a bunch can get, Christians always have something right. They might be a little wild, but there's a Church of Christ church on Hillcrest Road. Is that Hillview Road? Right there by the fire station when you go by Walgreens.
Yeah.
And they have the best quotes on their sign. You know, they they always have a catchy quote on the on their marquee out there. But okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll wrap it up. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Cold religion would have you forget what God has done. But he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25 says, "After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" When we remember him, cold religion has no chance. When we commune with him, failure has no chance. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for all that he's given us, all the wonderful things he's doing in our lives. Lord, bless us to go forward in you, only forward. Help us to drive out all darkness, all doubts, all forms of doubts, so that we can measure your word greater and go forward doing all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.